Good morning. So we're picking up today on, in the edition that I'm using, page Mem Dalid. And remember, again, we're speaking about over here the second type of person and how to get them to go ahead and pursue a life of Zahiros, right? Everyone needs motivation in order to go ahead and lead an introspective and thoughtful life. So what the Ramchal called the Shlemi Hadas, those individuals who are a little bit more shalim, a little bit more perhaps advanced in their spiritual pursuits. So for them, the motivation ultimately is the notion that they will achieve some level of completion. But about for people who are not as nobly motivated, so Ramchal said that the way to get that type of individual to begin to lead an introspective life is to understand that the amount of introspection ultimately generates meaning, and the amount of meaning in your life will directly relate to the portion in Olam Haba, in the world to come, that you have. And when you get to Olam Haba, you don't want it to be that you're spending an eternity and you see that someone else has a larger portion than you have. It's going to be a source of angst for you in the afterlife, and that angst remains for all eternity. There are some people, Rabbi Hussein, who say their entire existence is to make life easier. But, you know, this is an interesting thing, because we live in a society, we live in a time where the whole idea is how to make life easier. And in certain respects, that's good. In certain respects, it's very good. There are many innovations and many things that are designed to make life easier. But it's kind of bred a mindset that the goal is to try to make life simpler and to make life easier. But of course, it's somewhat antithetical to Judaism, because in Judaism, the whole notion is to embrace and accept the fact that life is struggle. The Ramchal himself spoke about that. It's a milchama, it's a war. In any event, there are those simple people who try to make life, who try to take it easy on themselves. Shiomru, lama niyaga atzmino bekol kach chasidus uprishus. Why do we have to be so pious? Halo dai lanu shelo nihya me'arasham hanidonim again. The truth is, I'm happy as long as I'm not a Rasha. You know, if I'm not going to Gehenna, I say mission accomplished. Anachnu lo nitchok atzmino likanis piganeden lifnai v'lifnim. Why is it that why do we have to push ourselves to go to Gan Eden? Lifnai v'lifnim, meaning why push ourselves so much? Im lo yihyeh lanu chelek gadol, yihyeh lanu chelek katan. You know what the truth is? If I don't get the mansion, you know, in Olam Haba, I'll get the condo, right? And the truth is, it's fine. It's fine as long as I'm in Olam Haba and I'm not in Gehenna. Sounds good to me. Anu dai lanu bazeh v'lo nachbid ol masainu ba'avor zos. There is no need for us to go ahead and make ourselves crazy in order to get a larger portion in the world to come. Simply, we can get by with the smaller portion. I'll say again, you know, the truth is that the more compelling statement is the statement he made before. Hey, I'm not going to Gehenna. And pretty much, as long as I've assured my non-entry into Gehenna, I'm pretty happy with that. And it's not the greatest portion of Olam Haba, I'll live with it. Amnam she'ilin e'achas nishlamia. But you could ask one question. Hayuchlu kol kach al nikala lispa ba'olam hazeh hacholif liros acher me'achevreim mechubad u'minusa yoser mehem u'moshaleim. You ask this person the following question. How do you feel when your friend accomplishes something or does something that gives him greater kavod than what you have? It's difficult for you to see that. Right, it's difficult to withstand that. We'll say, remember again, jealousy over the accomplishments of another is a very natural thing. The raya, the proof that it's a natural thing, is that we have an avera of lo sachmot. Right, remember, anything that Kodesh Baruch Hu has to prohibit, that indicates to us that it is a natural, normal phenomenon. So therefore, if Kodesh Baruch Hu tells me not to covet, then therefore, by definition, that tells me that coveting is a natural, normal piece of the human condition. So you say to this person, listen, how do you feel when your friend gets more covet, when your friend ultimately rises above you? It's bothersome, no? It's bothersome. He says, v'chol shekein, certainly when you see someone, he literally says, who's an eved or who's a pauper, someone who's of lower social or societal standing, and suddenly again they're getting covered and you're not getting covered, does that not bother you a little bit? Lo vada, of course it does. Kihine einenu haros kol amal ha'adam linase akomishi yuchal V'lasim ekomo bin haramim yosher. Because as we know, that again, kavod is a very important thing. And kavod is what fuels many people to do the things that they do. Ki hi kinas ish mere'ehu. Because by definition, it's natural for one person to have a certain jealousy of another. V'mira chavero misromim v'nishar shafal. And if I see my friend being uplifted, and I'm left kind of on the lower level, v'adai shema shi yispo, huma shi yuchroch l'savlo, kilo yuchal limnoa, u'levavo yis'ashesh b'kirbo. Rabbi say again, if I see my friend being elevated, and I, even if I'm not downgraded or degraded, but I'm pretty much remain on the same level, it's very difficult sometimes to see that I'm not rising up as well. Me'ata, imkach kashalim liyoshvalim izulasem ma'alos hamedumos v'hakozvos. So if it's difficult for me to go ahead and be on a lower level than my friend with basic things in this world that I have absolutely no endurance and no deeper meaning. Where a person who is lifted up materially is not really any better off in the long run than I am. And again, this type of covet is shav and sheker. How could it be then that a person is going to go ahead and see those who are on a lower level ultimately taken up to a higher one? V'zebim kom ha-ma'ala ha-amitis v'ayekar ha-netzchi sha'af api sha'achshav in makirim oso ves erko al-kin lo yochu shalov aval bizmano v'aday shi'akiruhu la'amito l'tzaram ul'vashtam v'aday shlo yelohem ze el-tzar godol v'netzchi. So what says the Mechaber something amazing. Says the Mechaber, again, now, perhaps this doesn't mean all that much to us. Now this idea that someone else is going to have a larger portion of Olam Haba, perhaps, again, doesn't sound like such a big deal because I don't understand or fully appreciate what Olam Haba actually is. But when we get there and when we see what Olam Haba is about and the notion that a person has to spend eternity on a lower level of Olam Haba than my friend, says Ramchal, ultimately will generate a certain amount of eternal angst within the neshama of the individual. Hare lecha, she'in ha-savlanut hazeh asher him darshim la'atzmam, la'hakya mehem chomer ha'avoda, ela pitui kozev shemefati yitzhem osam v'lo davar mitikas. Well, this is a very profound statement. Therefore, Ramchal says, when people try to have this, he calls this quote-unquote savlanut, when people go ahead and try to be patient with themselves and they say, oh, I don't have to try so hard. The truth is, it's mission accomplished because I'm not a Rasha. I'm most probably not going to Gehenna. And that, and I will say, by the way, that is an accomplishment. It certainly is an accomplishment not to go to Gehenna. It's a good first start. It's certainly a good first start, but it can't be where one's life work ends. So those individuals who try to convince themselves that as long as they're not going to Gehenna, even if they're only going to have, as Rabbi Sonnenschein mentioned before, the condo in Olam Haba, but they're not going to be able to have for themselves the palatial estate. It's okay, you know, I don't live on a palatial estate in this world. If I don't have a palatial estate in the next world, it's okay also. So Chal just says, people like that are convincing themselves with silliness. Because if you think that you're going to be content with the condo in the world to come, when you see other people who have amassed more, then ultimately you're fooling yourself because it's going to be a source of eternal angst. When I realize that I could have done more and therefore had more for all eternity, and I see others who did do more and therefore have more for all eternity, that will be a source of ongoing angst for the neshama. I will say again, now understand, I came here, this sounds strange for us because this sounds so different than the way we're supposed to think, and that's because it is different than the way we're supposed to think. So Rav Chal is speaking already to a person who's on a little bit of a lower level, who's motivated much more by kavod, who's motivated much more by payout. So that's the argument that he ultimately gives to this person.
You can't suppress that more.
Talking for all eternity. We're playing for keeps.
100%. But remember what he's playing off of. What he's playing off of is the almost innate sense of tension that arises when I see someone else who has more than me. I'm sorry?
You can't suppress Tachmor and Olam Haba?
You can't, no, because remember, understand, there is one form of Lo Sachmo that is permitted, which is in Ruchnius. If I see someone who is on a higher spiritual level than me, I am permitted to covet that.
Mm-hmm.
that actually is permitted. Not only is it permitted, it's actually encouraged, because the goal is that I want to be able to covet that for myself. Now, what's interesting is that he's saying is that there's some level of kina in the Olam HaEmes also, which is quite interesting. Now, whether he's speaking metaphorically, whether he's speaking, it doesn't matter. The point that he's doing over here is he's playing off the most basic human need for covet. He's saying that at the end of the day, if there's one thing that gets most people going, it's covet, or perhaps better stated, when there's a certain lack of covet that comes to them. So here it is, I want to be in a state that is mechubad. I see in the afterlife my friend is on a higher level, I'm on a lower level. Not because he's better than me, by the way. Not because he's better than me, because what Ramchal is saying over here, you know why he's on a higher level and I'm on a lower level? You know why? Because he tried. And I didn't, because remember again, it's very important to show that Olam Haba, and the Ramchal writes about, the Rambam writes about this as well, Olam Haba is not based on quantity. So it's not the pshat that this one did more mitzvos, I did less mitzvos. Olam Haba is all about the actualization of subjective potential. So if I lived up to my potential, so I could have the same Olam Haba as an Avraham Avinu. I could, because again, it sounds strange to say, but if Avraham Avinu lived up to this potential, I lived up to this potential, we've both actualized our full tachlis in life. So when I get to Olam Haba, and my friend is on a much higher level, and I see him, says the Ramchal, and all he did is he pushed himself a little bit harder, and I took it easy on myself, because I said to myself, it's okay, I'll get by with a little bit less, I'm not going to Gehenna. The Ramchal says, if you think you're going to be happy with that argument for all eternity in the afterlife, you're sadly mistaken. The truth is, the only reason why we can get away with this level of self-deception is because we do not see, I'm not translating it accurately. He says the only reason why there is an opening for this level of self-deception is only because we do not see the true truth of this world. The problem is because often we're very happy to live within the cloud and the fog of self-deception. Because the truth is, Rabosai, it's hard. You know, it's very hard to live life with expectations for yourself, that you always have to do more, be more. It's a lot of pressure. So instead, what it's much easier to do is what? To say, look, I'm not going to Gehenna. And again, that's like the life fallback position. At least I'm not going to Gehenna. And the truth is, again, as I said before, that is an accomplishment. It's a good start. But what ends up happening is that's like the mechanism that creates the glass ceiling. Hey, as long as I'm not going to Gehenna, I'm all right. There's no need for additional accomplishment. And people go through life that entire way. Or the other thing that people like to say is, at least I'm better than that one. Right? Right? Or the other thing, and this is probably the worst one because it's so self-sabotaging, is look how far I've come. Right? Look how far I've come. You know what I was doing 5 years ago? Do you know where I was 10 years ago? Right? I was with whatever it was. I don't have to go into examples. Right? But you know what I was doing? You know where I was a decade ago? You know what my childhood was? You know what my teenage years were? You know what my college years were? Look where I am now. I will say, that's wonderful. That's great. But if a person has been saying that now for the last 10 years, then already a person is living in that fog of self-deception. And all the person is trying to do is create a glass ceiling for themselves so there is no need to accomplish. So says the Ramchal, just understand that glass ceiling comes tumbling down the moment we leave this world. A person could choose to live in that fog, and that fog is very... Most people live in a fog. That's the reality. And ultimately, again, a person will only realize until it's too late, because he says, kilo yiyya, ol biyadon latakin, asher shichesu. Because they will say, you know what the scary part is? Sometimes in life, we only really understand the fallacy of our ways, and we only understand that we've been living in a fog when it's too late. You see, when you're in life, you could dispel the fog. When you're in life, you can go out and choose to live. When you're alive, you can choose to live differently. The problem is after 120, sometimes that light bulb goes off when I'm no longer here. And when I'm no longer here, my neshama enters into the Olam HaEmes. The scary part is, at that point in time, it's too late to do anything. Therefore, the Ramchal says the goal is dispel that fog, scatter that fog of self-deception, so a person could begin to lead a more impactful life now. All right, we'll have to stop over here. We're going to have to pick up with that phrase, V'hu Masha Amar Shlomo HaMelech, tomorrow.